Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Thel, and I'm joined by three very special guests tonight. First of all, it's Roderick Giggs. Rod, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Seems like I've been for ages, but yeah, I'm all good.
It has been a while, mate, but you're driving while you're on the show, so I hope you're very careful and eyes are on the road.
Yeah, I'm all hands free and, all safe.
All the disclaimers so you don't get any points on your license. I'm not going to ask how many you got. Probably more than West Ham at the moment, but I'm not going to go into that. My next guest is Mr. Blaise Bourgeois. Giza, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Stel?
Yeah, all good, mate. Did I pronounce your surname correct?
Yes, you did.
There you go.
Got it right.
There you go.
Very rare.
Thank you very much. Welcome to London. You've come all the way from Rio. Is it Rio?
Yes, Rio by way of New York, yes.
How are you finding London?
Pretty excellent. Not as warm, though. Could use a little sunshine over here.
Well, don't ask for too much, mate. Come on now. It'd be a bit greedy. Bloody hell.
Tonight?
He's only been here 5 minutes. He wants to change the weather. Bloody hell. Right. Right, my third guest is none other than Millwall striker Steve Morrison. Steve, welcome back to the show, mate. How you doing?
Good evening, guys. You alright?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good.
How was
the weekend's game?
Yeah, it was alright. Disappointing not to get a win in the end. It was 1-0 until the last knock-ins. But no, off the back of three defeats, a draw against the top of the table Leeds, weren't a bad result. Yeah.
Mm. Did you notice anything special about Leeds? Because a lot of people were waxing lyrical about Bielsa and how he's changed their style of play. We know how good a coach he is. Well, not Lazio, because he was only there for like 5 minutes. But did you notice anything special about Leeds?
No, they were good. They were better than they were last year. They play a very nice way of playing the game. But yeah, no, it's very possession-based. They work very hard, harder than they did last year. But yeah, it's nothing we haven't already seen. So, I mean, we see it with Wolves last year when they went up. But I don't think they're quite as good as Wolves were. But no, yeah. They're good. They suited us, and we're disappointed we didn't get the win. So we move on.
Absolutely. Right. Before we start the show, let's do a quick quiz, shall we? I've been doing this for the past few weeks. Rodri knows how to play. It's pretty simple, gents. I've picked three fixtures from a specific Premier League season, and all you guys have to do are guess the goal scorers of the games, really. But I'll give you the scores first, and then at the end of the show, we can go back and you can do your guesses, yeah?
Okay.
All right, excellent. So the first game is West Brom 1, Aston Villa 2. There you go. That's from season 2008-2009. The next game is Chelsea 1, Man United 1. Not a lot of goals there, as you'd expect. And Blackburn 1, Fulham 0. There you go. Nice and easy.
Right. Well, easy all winning. From the same year?
Yeah, all from the same season. In fact, the same weekend.
Right, okay.
So there you go. Right, let's begin our review, yeah? And that's the Spurs game at Wembley where Liverpool maintained their 100% start to the season with a 2-1 win against Spurs. Gigi Wijnaldum opened the scoring following some suspect defending before Firmino netted Liverpool's second 10 minutes into the second half. Lamela's stoppage time goal was little consolation for a Spurs-sized devoid of ideas. Blaise, Jurgen Klopp was absolutely thrilled with his side's performance and you can't really blame him given how convincing the victory was. As a neutral, what did you make of this game? Was it as one-sided as many believe?
Yeah, I was at the stadium for the match, and yes, it was absolutely one-sided. This match could have been 4-0, 5-0. Spurs, they were having trouble making little five-yard passes. They weren't into it. And they really lacked that leader that you know, will tell them to push on. No, nobody wanted to take control of the match from the Spurs' point of view. They really didn't look like they were threatening whatsoever until late in the match when LaMelo and Sonny came in. But yeah, Liverpool, they were just playing around with Spurs all day. It looked like men versus boys out there. It really did.
Did you see anything special about Liverpool? Because a lot of people have said that they're title contenders. They've won 5 games on the bounce. They've got Alisson, who obviously you know about. Is there anything remarkably unique about Liverpool this season that you haven't seen before?
It just looks like their team chemistry this year is... It reminds me of, you know, how City was last year. They're all on the same page. They're definitely a step up from where they were last season. And really, I think it's going to come down to those two City-Liverpool matches. That could really decide the race.
That's what a lot of people are saying at the moment. And Steve, Spurs really struggled to cope with Roberto Firmino. He isn't your typical number 9, is he, mate?
I think he is more of a modern day number 9. He's not a Giroud, but he's key to what Liverpool do. I think I don't think Mane or Salah work as well if he's not playing. I think he's brilliant for the team, but I think the most impressive thing for them is I don't think they're actually firing on all cylinders yet. I think a few of the players who were so good last year haven't. It's going to be tough to match what they did last year. Some of them individually, but I don't think they're individually had as good a start as they could have done themselves. But I think as a team, they look much better, and I think they're is paying off that a few of their players maybe didn't play in the World Cup, and a bit pressure, I think I'd say.
Yeah, I agree, mate. What do you make of Daniel Sturridge, though? Because he's come back from injury. He obviously hasn't had much game time, but he's a cracking player to bring off the bench, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a great player, and I think he's at a position now where he's going to have to realise that maybe his role in the team is going to be a sub, because if he starts too many games, he gets injured. So I think maybe him being a sub and coming on with 10, 15, 20 minutes to go for Liverpool is great. He always seems to score. He always seems to get in the right areas. But whether he's got the ability to start games and play the games like Firmino does and Mane and Salah, I don't know. But I said, as a squad, looking at Liverpool's squad now, it's a lot better squad, a lot more depth. I said, some players we haven't even seen. Fabinho, 50 million. He's a centre midfielder, he's playing right back for Brazil just to get a game, but can't even get off the bench for Liverpool. So I think it's a testament to how good the squad is and how well the team are playing at the minute.
Yeah, I think going back to Sturridge, he's a fantastic plan B to have. I mean, in the past, you've seen the likes of, I don't know, Andy Carroll being thrown off the bench to be the target man, but they don't really need that. When you've got someone like Daniel Sturridge, whose movement is exceptional, and I just think that if he stays clear of injury, you've got a player that can get you 10, 15 goals at least.
Yeah, definitely. We just have to wait and see how he gets on fitness-wise.
Yeah, let's see, eh? Right, that's 2 losses on the bounce now for Spurs, who look very, very leggy on Saturday. After beating United, people said Spurs' lack of transfer activity was a blessing in disguise as they kept the squad together. Now it's back to blaming Levy. Rod, Pochettino said he wasn't disappointed because the game, in inverted commas, showed how competitive the Premier League is. It seems a bit odd to me that he's dodged a lot of criticism. What do you think, mate? Rod's gone silent. Rod, you've muted yourself. Rodri's muted himself. That's great. Don't worry. Blaze, what do you reckon? Do you think it's good that Pochettino's escaped criticism again? Oh, wait, Rod's back.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, mate.
Yeah, he's dodged a couple of bullets, obviously, so... We've seen the criticism that Reno's got when he lost 2 games, and you know, looking at the game on Saturday, even though Liverpool are a fantastic team and the attacking threat they've got, you know, he didn't change the formation. I think if he would have changed the formation, they would have got a bit more joy. He didn't change it. He stuck with it. And ultimately, they did get beat. But, you know, that can happen because Liverpool are a top team. But you still expect a little bit more from Tottenham, especially at home, especially the result they had at United. I know they've been beat off Watford. But, you know, you'd expect more of them. And then they did look a bit leggy. And, you know, people talking about Harry Kane. But, you know, he's a notorious slow starter. I'm sure, today that he scored the same amount of goals he did last year at this time of the year. So, yeah, I just think the players were a bit leggy. I have to blame because he didn't change the formation, so it was too late.
I think it's also shown how important having a decent goalkeeper is, because obviously with United, David De Gea has been absolutely outstanding, and Hugo Lloris was a massive miss for Spurs, wasn't he? I mean, Michel Vorm isn't the greatest of goalkeepers, and I don't think he really should be number one for Spurs. They really missed him, didn't they, Rod? Lloris?
Yeah, they did. Well, you can tell that the way they've set up the corners, that they've stuck someone on the keeper, and ultimately they've given the first goal by a poor punch away, and they get a heady goal from it. So, yeah, you're going to miss the French number one, the captain. You know, he's a World Cup winner. I know he's had some personal problems at the minute, but, you know, these guys are professionals. They can get through that. And he's a top keeper, so you're going to miss him. Mm. Anyone who loses the number one keeper, they're going to miss him.
That's right. Steve, Harry Kane only touched the ball 11 times. That pretty much sums up Spurs' performance, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, look, at the end of the day, football's one of those games where you win a game, everything's great. You lose a game, the world's going to end. I wouldn't be surprised if you went through Harry Kane's stats. In most games, you wouldn't touch the ball that much when you play in that number nine role where you're so high. And if you keep coming short and short just to have touches the ball, it means the other 10 players are not getting you the ball in the areas you want. So, I think you've got to respect the fact that Liverpool are on top of their game in a minute. Spurs ain't quite there. And it shows, as I said, they're missing a few players. But it's going to take them a while to get their legs back. Do you know what I mean? I think they're the most of the players away on international duty and they're playing games. It's tough. It takes a toll. I mean, we're not robots. You can't just keep going and keep going and keep going. Don't forget, there is always the exception to the rule. As I said, like people go on about Hazard and he got to the semis and all that kind of stuff. But everyone's and different, and Spurs are going through a little bit of a period now, and because of their lack of transfer activity and all that, then people are always going to chuck an excuse at them. But I'm sure when they win at the weekend, whoever they're playing, everything could be fine again.
Yeah, that's right. Joining Liverpool at the top with maximum points are Chelsea, who dismantled Cardiff 4-1 after going a goal down. Eden Hazard's hat-trick had Maurizio Sarri gushing over the Belgian, even suggesting he could be the best player in Europe. Rod, I'm not sure what Messi and Ronaldo have to say about Sarri's comments. You know, is he the best player in your opinion?
No.
Well,
at the minute, he probably is one of the best players in Europe. But, you know, when you're scoring 40 goals a season for 10 years, then he can be named as one of the top. But, you know, he's had a good start. He's had a good World Cup. You know, if your manager's saying an extra boost, by looking at him, he doesn't look like he lacks confidence. He uses confidence. So it's good for him. But for me, no, he's got the potential. He's great to watch. He's a top player. But no, for me, you know, you can't look past Ronaldo and Messi yet. Still, even though Ronaldo's getting on in age, you know, he's got off the mark this weekend. I'm sure he'll score at least 30 goals plus. See if Hazard scores 30 goals plus, then we can talk about it at the end of the season. But for me, no, he's still a top five player, but the best player in the world, in Europe, no, not for me.
Steve, Giroud provided two assists but wasn't able to get on the score sheet, mate. He's actually becoming somewhat of an unsung hero at the club, isn't he?
Yeah, look, I think his class, Giroud, what he does is very good. The goal he scored for France in midweek was ridiculous. And when someone like Hazard comes out and praises him, you know he does a very, very good job. At the end of the day, Hazard can't do what he does without someone like Giroud, because he needs someone to get hold of the ball, give them the ball in the areas they need. And yeah, I think he's brilliant for them. And I said he's been bought in because Arsenal didn't want him because of his lack of movement or whatever that might be. But sometimes as a focal point, as a number nine, you need someone who's going to control a back four like he did against Cardiff, who have got like three or four very big and strong players. And he deals with them and he does the ugly stuff and he gives the ball to people like Hazard in the right areas and they score the goals. And I said, you're just talking then about Hazard, one of the best players in Europe. He's definitely the best player in the Premier League. So maybe that's what Sarri's
trying to say,
because as I said, Messi's still Messi and Ronaldo's always going to be Messi, and until Hazard hits the heights that them two hit on a regular basis, they will never be compared because their goals and that don't let them. But as I said, right now in the Premier League, he's the best player by a mile.
Absolutely. Blaise, Jorginho has really impressed Chelsea fans with his leadership qualities both on and off the field. He's slowly becoming Chelsea's most influential, if not important, player. Do you agree?
I mean, it's only been 5 games, but it's pretty hard to disagree with that statement right now. I mean, he is, without a doubt, the leader on the pitch. He's telling players where to go. He's dragging the opposition's forward out of position. He's getting he's allowing Luis and Rudiger to join the attack and put pressure on their opponents. But I think the closing managers have to do is they really have to stop man-marking him. They have to push their they got to put pressure on the back line, because right now they're sitting back and they're allowing 8, 9, 10 Chelsea players to go up the field. And you know, Jorginho's got a lot to do with that. And he's also passing at over 9%. I mean, they're perfect right now. You can't really say a bad thing about Jorginho right now.
Yeah, you can't have a player like that dictating the tempo all the time. You know, it's very difficult for the midfield to get a grip on a game when you've got someone like that just pinging balls left, right and centre. But, you know, another team with some very talented players, Watford, their winning start came to an end at the hands of Man United, whose two first half goals and stubborn backline took some pressure off Jose Mourinho. Rodri, United got it tactically spot on and everyone from 1 to 11 put in a shift. That's exactly what the fans needed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And just to follow up from the good performance, Burnley, it looked like we've turned the corner now, and you know, like you say, 1-11 all turned up, and Mourinho got it tactically right, as he does most times. But you know, it's a good start, and it was a good result, because you know, Watford, even though you know they're not going to win the league, but they're a good team. They all know their individual jobs. They're a strong unit. That they all work for each other, and they're a good team. And you know, they won't be fighting relegation this season anyway, by the looks of them, because they were very, very impressed with them. And you know, it needed United to build a decent display to get the 3 points, in which they did.
Yeah, the thing is with Watford, what I noticed is that they're doing pretty much the same thing as they did against Spurs, where they're making the pitch very, very narrow. And United were just able to ping crossfield balls the whole time. And I think the first 10-15 minutes, United put about 7 diagonal balls in the box. So they did their homework, but they did their homework on set pieces as well. That goal was straight from the training ground. And I think it's nice to see Chris Smalling finally get some confidence back, because we've slated him for a while now, to be fair. But let's be honest, he's United's most experienced central defender, isn't he?
Yeah, I agree. I've slaughtered him a few times as well, but you know, we've seen it before with Liverpool. You get a good centre half or good people around him, and you know, ultimately you play better, and that's what we're seeing with Chris Smalling. He took his goal fantastically well, and you know, we've got to praise Fellaini as well. You know,
yeah,
hearing the conversation on the Talk Sport today saying that he can't play there, he shouldn't be there. He's played brilliant for the last 2 games, and I think that allowing him to play there and allowing Matic and Pogba, who can play better, who can get on the ball more and express themselves, and you know, I've been slaughtering Fellaini as well as with Smalling, but you know, he's been fantastic, and you've got to praise them when they play like that, because you know, he was rightly the man of the match.
I'm baffled. The people on the radio are saying that Fellaini shouldn't play in that position, can't play in that position, but the two games that he has played in that position, United have won. So, yeah, what
yeah,
do I know?
Yeah, and he's played there for Belgium as well. He's not ideal, and I think for the top four sides, I don't think he'd play in there. But for teams like Watford and Burnley, who are going to stick it on you and be physical, he's perfect for that. And he's shown that in the last two games.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Steve, Leicester were transferred to Bournemouth. A win for the Cherries moves them up to fifth in the table. Ryan Fraser got the Man of the Match award for his brace, but we can't play down the impact made by Josh King and Callum Wilson. They complement each other really well, don't they?
Yeah, I think Bournemouth had a great start. They've said they're most probably reaping the rewards again with a lot of fresh players. They're making the most of it. I think the front three are very, very good. Bags of pace, bags of skill, bags of energy. And... yeah, they're a very, very good counter-attacking team. They're very good footballers. And them three are on absolute flames at the minute. And when they're running in behind your defence, as everybody knows, it's the worst thing for any defender is someone with pace. And when you've got three of them who have got hit, it's a nightmare. And they said they're frightening at the minute. And Fraser took his goals very, very well. And I think the only disappointment they'll have is the fact that they didn't sit out against 10 men and get a clean sheet. But when you score four goals at home, you normally win the game.
Yep, that's right, that's right. Now, Wilf Zaha returned to the Palace team to score the win against Huddersfield, and what a goal it was. Blaise, Zaha told the BBC that he's unhappy with referees and believes he'll have to get his leg broken before an opponent receives a red card. Is he overreacting, mate?
I don't think he's overreacting at all. I mean, the man runs at blistering pace, and he's not one to shy away from any challenges. But, you know, he's given his reputation 2 years ago for diving. I followed him, you know, and it so, like, now it's far from the truth. And referees are refusing to blow the whistle, and, you know, now he's starting to shy away from challenges. He's not being able to play his game, and he's not able to have the influence he wants to have on a match unless he can, you know, hit a stunning goal like that. And as a footballer, you know, if you can't play your natural game, That's probably the most frustrating thing as well. If you look at his office stats, first 2 weeks of the season, he led the team in duels. He had 24 duels and 20 duels. Led the team both areas. Four fouls called on him in each match. If you look at the tape, certainly not enough. And last two matches, he's only gotten stuck in 15 times and 11 times. And he's only had three calls called for him. So, you know, as an opposing team, you're going to be the man you target. You've got to slow him down. You have to frustrate him. Yes, it's his responsibility to keep calm, carry on, but he also needs to be protected. He's got every right to defend himself. And really, what else can he do? But vent his frustration. Robbie Savage the other day, he's jokingly said, you know, he's the most important player for their team out of any other team in the world. And as far as top five leagues, I don't think he's too wrong. Since the beginning of last season, when Zaha's out of the lineup, they've lost every single match, all 11 matches. And when he's in the lineup, they have a winning record. So, I mean, what else can Zaha really do but try to defend himself publicly? I mean, the last time he did so, last season, referees started to blow the whistle a little more in his favor. But, I mean, it's quite obvious. He's taking a beating out there, and the referee really has to start defending him.
Steve, do you think Zaha was being a bit, a bit flaky? Because, I mean, let's be honest, he's a fantastic forward. He's got bags of skill. And let's be honest, mate, every player gets kicked every now and again. Is he overacting a bit too much?
No, I don't think he is. I think the frustrating thing for him is the fact that he gets labelled a diver. And, yeah, he's maybe goes down too easily at times, but to be honest with you, sometimes he gets absolutely melted. And he is their best player, he's their standout performer, and he's brilliant. And yeah, just the way he plays, the way he dribbles, the way he runs with the ball, he gets wiped. Some of the challenges, you think, Jesus Christ, like, how is that not a red card, or how is that not a booking? And it's just a bit much. As I said, the way football's going, that's being taken out of the game. You're not allowed to do that. But I think for him, it's just a frustration that he gets the diver tag labelled at him, and he does get lumps kicked out of him every game as well. So, but as I said, when he's scoring goals like that at the weekend, and they're winning games 1-0, then I presume he'll basically also be saying that they can kick lumps at me all they want, and I'll just do that.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I was about to say that, because it just appears that the more they kick him, the more he turns up. It's almost as if he thrives on it.
Yeah, exactly. I think you always do. You have to find that little edge in your game. If that's what it is for him, then great. But as I said, it's not... John, he must be coming off the game with lumps and bumps all over him, and they're not inflicted by him. So it must be frustrating. And obviously, I think sometimes, you know, it's like when you're losing games, it hurts a bit more. But when you're winning games, you get to rub it back in their face.
Yeah, I guess in Zaha's eyes, if they're winning games, he's got masochistic tendencies. But I won't get into that. A bit weird. Who's Rodri talking about?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that he made this statement, because, you know, he lets the ref know, and the ref might protect him a little bit more, but he's got to expect it. He's a top player, and some teams are just going to be out to be tough against him, and you're going to get some kicks, but he's got to take it sometimes. But, you know, by making a statement, it's got out there, and a few referees, I'm sure, have heard it, so they might look after him a bit more now.
Do you know what? I hate to bring it back to Ronaldo, but he got kicked so many times. I remember at Man City, didn't Michael Ball stamp on his stomach? I remember Wilkinson at Stoke giving him a few kicks, but he just got up and got on with it, really. But yeah, at the same time,
they don't kick Benteke, so they don't know, do they? They don't kick him, so because he doesn't influence the game. He's a waste of money, but star. He's a game changer, a game winner. So you're going to try and get stuck into the most influential players. So unfortunately, he's going to have to get used to it. But, you know, the referees, like Steve said, have got to protect him a little bit more.
Cool. Steve, Wolves moved into the top 10 after a 1-0 home win against Burnley. They're a very exciting team to watch. Remind me a little bit of Fulham when they first broke into the Premier League under Jean Tigana. Wolves were a little wasteful in front of goal, though. What do you make of them so far?
I think they've been brilliant. They were brilliant last year. Obviously, the best team in the league by a mile. Scored the most goals, got the most points. And they've kicked on again. I mean, look at the signings they've made, the amount of money they've spent, and it's really showing. And yeah, they've been wasteful in front of goal. But I think the only reason we're saying that is because they've created so many chances. But they've had a very good start. I think they'll be in a very comfortable position at the end of the season. And if they keep playing like that, at the end of the day, you're not going to keep missing those chances. Eventually, it's like the goal on Saturday. The geezers miss hit it, and it's gone in. Yeah, the strikes they've hit well. Joe Hart saved. So it's just one of those things at the minute. I think it will change. They've got too many good players for it not to. And yeah, they're fantastic at the minute. And they've gone on from the level they were on last year, and they've done it in the Premier League. There's not many teams that go into the Premier League and hit the ground running like they have. Like, I mean, they took Man City all the way, and everyone didn't expect that. And I think they're going to be in a very helpful position at the end of the season.
Mm. Thing is, I know they signed a lot of Portuguese players, but you know, when you sign quite a few players in the summer for the start of a new season, you kind of expect it to take a bit of time to gel. But they've hit the ground running, and it appears that there's a fantastic team unity there. And you've got to credit the manager as well, because you could tell he's a very likeable character.
Yeah, but I think what you've got to realise is, like with West Ham, for example, they just sign people from anywhere. There's no seem to be any structure to what they're doing. Whereas you look at Wolves, he's going to sign people. I think that's something stupid. They all speak the same language.
Mm.
So it's not difficult for them to get their messages across, to be able to talk on the pitch the way they need to. They can all demand off each other in the right way, etc., etc. And I think that shows that the gelling process can happen a lot quicker, because they all know each other. They've all got the same voice. They've all they can all understand the manager. They can all talk. They all understand the leagues they've played in, top leagues. They're not signing unknown players. I mean, every single player they've signed, we've heard of. We know. And I think that makes a hell of a difference.
Absolutely. Right, in other news, Cristiano Ronaldo scored his first two goals for Juve in their 2-1 win over Sassuolo. Unfortunately, Ron's big day was overshadowed by Douglas Costa, sent off for a headbutt, an elbow, and spitting on the same player. I don't know which offence he got sent off for, really. It could have been all three, really. Rod, this reminded me of Italian 90 when Rijkaard spouted Rudy Voller. I can't see Costa getting less than a 5-match ban. Should he receive a harsher punishment?
Oh, it's a difficult one. Yes, he should be more than 5. It's just, it was worse than Rudy Voller and Rijkaard, because Rijkaard spat in the back of his mullet, didn't he? So this one spat right in his mouth. Mm. So it's just, if anyone, I don't know how the guy is held back and not just fully headbutted him, because you just can't do that. It's just a nasty. And like you said, he could have been sent off for the headbutt, he could have been sent off for the elbow, and also he got sent off for spitting in the guy's mouth. It was disgusting, and it should be 10 games minimum at least. Because it's just not right. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how the Italian FA will deal with it, because I know the Premier League would be pretty harsh on them, to be fair.
To be honest, if it was in the Premier League, you would have been sent off the elbow or one of the headbutts. Yeah. You wouldn't have got to the spitting. So it's just, I don't know what the referee was doing. He's fully headbutted him and fully elbowed him in the jaw, and he's still staying on the pitch. So, you know, you've got to look at the referee as well, because it shouldn't even got to that. But when it has, it's just disgusting. I don't know how the guys kept his temper, to be honest.
Well, mate, they actually used video technology for it, so I don't think the referee saw it in the first place.
No, but it must have saw the elbow and the headbutt. If they've got VR there, why have they not seen that? It's just fully headbutt and fully elbowed him. So it's just ridiculous.
Oh, well. I don't know. Steve, two English youngsters had relatively good weekend in the Bundesliga. Reece Nelson scored in his Hoffenheim debut, while Jadon Sancho provided two assists for Dortmund. Can you see either of them breaking into the England squad in the near future?
Possibly. Possibly, but I think it's a difficult one. We very much stick to what we know in this country. They do that quite a lot. But yeah, I don't know. I think it took Eric Dier to move back over here to get in the England squad, didn't he? Playing abroad. And possibly, yeah, they'd have to get a move back to get back in the England squad as well. But yeah, all they can do is keep playing well and see what happens in the future. I'm sure Gareth Southgate got his people out and about, knowing what's going on. But I think they're still under 21 level anyway.
That's right, yeah.
So they could still be playing in that, and I suppose they're doing well in that. But it seems like there's a channel now in England, like there is in the other countries, where if you're playing for the under 21s, you've got more chance of getting into the England squad or Wales squad, whoever it is, Scotland, rather than players like skipping that whole process and going straight into the first team. So all they can do is play football, which is most probably more than what they would do here. And also they're playing at a very, very good level as well.
Absolutely. I think Reece Nelson's transfer or the loan move has impressed me most out of the two. I mean, I knew about Jadon Sancho anyway, so we kind of knew what to expect. But Reece Nelson is kind of like he's a jack-in-the-box. You don't know what to expect from him, unless you're an Arsenal fan who's been watching him or someone that studied his game. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see how well the lad does there, because he's got a bright future. In fact, both of them do anyway. But, anyway. One for Blaze. I know you're watching the Southampton game at the moment, and you're a big Southampton fan, and you're biting your nails there, mate, because you're 2-1 up at the moment. But Vasco da Gama, he's Bruno Silva. He was knocked out against Flamengo, but his trip to the hospital was delayed a little, as the ambulance needed a push start by the players to get it going. This isn't the most bizarre thing that's occurred in Brazil, is it, mate? I'm sure you can beat that.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Flamengo supporter as well. I was watching the match. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I actually got my Flamengo jersey on right now. But back in February, you saw Vitória and Bahia. The match ended because Vitória ended up getting 5 red cards, and they had only a 6 on the pitch. There was a ball that saw 7 red cards go down, and then Vitória had another man sent off. His teammate kicked the ball away in frustration, got his second yellow, and ended the match, even though the match was 1-1 up to that point. Last week, Ceará's goalkeeper, Everson, scored a free kick in the 17th minute. Their manager's been risking it all to try to keep them out of relegation. They ended up defeating Corinthians 2-1, and they're in 16th right now. Alano, that used to play for Manchester City, I think it was 2009. He was, no, 2012, actually. He was upset with the AR and walked up to him and just kicked him right in the nuts. Yeah.
Nice.
And then 5 years ago, probably was the best one in the third division. This player, Johnny Dos Santos, he didn't like just a nonchalant call from the referee. He walked up and karate kicked him right in the throat.
Christ.
So, I mean, it's Brazilian football. I mean, the players don't have a lot of control. The fans don't have a lot of control. It's actually a pretty beautiful thing.
Well, I remember a game in Bolivia was actually abandoned because a dog ran on the pitch and made away with the ball. But, yeah, something you see on a Sunday in England, I guess, Hackney Marshes and all that. Gents, that's it for our review. Shall we get into our quiz?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Right, okay, so West Brom 1, Aston Villa 2 from season 2008-2009. Rod, do you want to guess the goal scorers? 2008-2009. So it was actually in September 2008.
Jesus Christ.
No, he was born way before that.
Oh, 2008. Ooh, Villa 2008. Angel.
Okay.
Angel and Taylor's still about then. It's a bit too late for that one. Yeah, I'll go Taylor. Angel and Taylor. I'm sure he would have been retired by then.
Okay. And the West Brom goal scorer?
Oh, West Brom. Pass. Kieran Richardson. It's the only person I know that he's played for. Well.
Lord Snooty. All right, okay. Blaze? Yeah, do you want to hazard a guess?
Oh, man. Maybe a brace from Bon Lahore.
Okay.
And I'll go with Richardson as well for West Brom.
Okay. Cool. Steve?
Oh, I was going to say Bon Lahore and possibly Bent. Bent there then.
Okay.
And West Brom. I just can't even think of ever played up front for West Brom. Fortuna.
Fortuna. He played there for a while. Fortuna. Okay, yeah. Cool. Right, the next game is Chelsea 1, Man United 1. Rod?
What year?
2008. 2008. I'm
going to go Ronaldo. Okay, and for Chelsea? Drogba.
Okay.
Blaze? 2008.
No, can I switch? No. I won't.
I'm going to go with Drogba and Ji-Sung Park.
Okay, Drogba and Park. Okay. Steve?
Lampard and... Giggs.
Okay.
I think Lampard's got a penalty, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Lampard,
you change your mind on that?
No, I'll keep it. Go on.
All right, okay. Blackburn 1, Fulham 0.
You need to bring these questions more up to date.
You should have been a couple of weeks ago when I did season 93, 94.
Santa Cruz.
Oh, Rocky Santa Cruz, okay. Okay, good shout. Okay. Blaze?
Brett Emerton?
Brett Emerton. Wow, that's a name right there. Okay.
I'm going to go David Dunn.
David Dunn. Wow. Okay. This is going to be interesting. Let me just write that Emerton and Dunn. D-U-N. Right, so the first game was... where is it? West Brom 1, Villa 2. The goal scorers for Aston Villa were Gabby Bonlahor and John Carew.
Yeah.
Ah, Carew, that was him.
There you go. And the goal scorer for West Brom was James Morrison.
Oh, he's been there a long time, hasn't he?
Yes, yeah. Is he still there? He's still there.
Yeah, still there.
Still there. There you go. So Blaze got one. Rod got Blaze got one. Steve got one. There you go. Right. Chelsea won. Man United won. The goal scorer for Chelsea was Salomon Kalou.
Bloody hell.
And Man United's goal scorer Blaze was Ji-Sung Park. Well done.
Come on, you can't be serious. No. Wow.
No, well done. Right. Of course I'm. Yeah, of course I'm being serious.
You googled that.
Right, and Blackburn won Fulham Hill. The goal scorer for Blackburn was Matt Derbyshire. He's actually playing his football in Cyprus at the moment.
Even Statter wouldn't have got any of these, right?
I think you're right about that one, because I looked at the results. I don't even remember that United game against Chelsea. That one.
More to the point is, why did you pick Blackburn versus Fulham?
Because the other ones were 3-1s and 0-0s, and we'd have been here all night with the 3-1s, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was great fun, gents. Thank you very much.
They get one right, yeah.
Oh, come on, you can't win all the time, Rod. Come on now.
Okay,
shut up. Right, that's it for this week's show. Just like to say a massive thanks to my guests, Rodri Giggs, Blaise Bourgeois and Steve Morrison. We're on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. We have a Facebook group page. Please feel free to visit and join our Patreon page. I'm uploading some of the old content, so you'll see how much we've got better or got worse. However, which way you want to see it. Until next time, guys. Take care.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.